Welcome to worship here at Joy Lutheran Church. It is so great to be with you, worshiping our incredible and amazing and gracious God. Just before we begin our time of worship, we have a few announcements of things coming up and things to pay attention to for the ministries happening here at Joy. First of all, we are resuming our collection of non-perishable food items for the food bank at the Parker Task Force. So if you are able and willing to contribute to that food drive, please see the e-news or the Parker Task Force website for a list of needed items. Remember to get your K through 5th grader signed up for day camp and for vacation Bible school, and make sure to invite your friends. Space is limited for both of these events, so you'll want to get signed up as soon as you can. Please note the different weeks that these events are taking place. We are also looking for volunteers to help with these events. Youth and adult volunteers are both needed. See the e-news for sign-up links to both registration and for volunteering. That information can also be found on our church website. There's just a few weeks left to celebrate and recognize our graduating seniors with gifts from their Joy family. We ask that you bring gift cards or park passes or any other type of experiential gift, something for our seniors to enjoy. Those baskets will be in the narthex through June 20th, so just a few weeks left. Finally, we are resuming our fellowship time following our Sunday service. Please join us for coffee and fellowship after the 9:30 service on Sunday mornings. I know that this will be a wonderful time and something we have dearly missed having here at Joy. So please join us. That's all the announcements I have for us today, so we continue our worship service. The peace of the Lord be with you always. I invite you to share a sign of God's peace with those who are gathered with you. We continue with our order of confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the God of manna, the God of miracles, the God of mercy. Amen. Drawn to Christ and seeking God's abundance, let us confess our sin. We'll take a moment for silent reflection and for personal confession. God, our provider, help us. It is hard to believe that there is enough to share. We question your ways when they differ from the ways of the world in which we live. We turn to our own understanding rather than trusting in you. We take offense at your teachings and your ways. Turn us again to you. Share with us the words of eternal life and feed us for life in the world. Amen. Beloved people of God, in Jesus, the manna from heaven, you are fed and nourished. By Jesus, the worker of miracles, there is always more than enough. Through Jesus, the bread of life, you are shown God's mercy. You are forgiven and loved into abundant life. Amen. Let us join together in singing our opening hymn.
Zion, let me enter there, where my soul in joyful duty waits for God who answers prayer. Oh, how blessed is this place, filled with solace, light, and grace. Hear thy praises gladly chanted, hear thy seed is duly sworn. Let my soul where it is planted bring forth precious sheaves alone, so that all I hear may be fruitful unto life in me. Thou my faith increase and quicken, let me keep thy gift divine. Howsoe'er temptations thicken, may thy word still o'er me shine. As my guiding star through life, as my comfort in all strife.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. All-powerful God, in Jesus Christ you turned death into life and defeat into victory. Increase our faith and trust in him that we may triumph over all evil in the strength of the same Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. We continue our service with our readings.
Today's first reading is from the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verses 8 through 15. Immediately after Adam and Eve eat the forbidden fruit, they hide from God. Neither takes responsibility for their sin, instead blaming each other, the snake, and even God. The curse on the snake was understood as a messianic prophecy by the early church, who associated Eve's offspring with Christ. The scripture. Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. He said, Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit from the tree, and I ate. Then the Lord God said to the woman, What is this that you have done? The woman said, The serpent tricked me, and I ate. The Lord God said to the serpent, Because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals and among all wild creatures. Upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put an enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel. Our responsive psalm is Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If you were to keep watch over sins, O Lord, who could stand? Yet with you is forgiveness, in order that you may be feared. I wait for you, O Lord. My soul waits. In your word is my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who keep watch for the morning, more than those who keep watch for the morning. O Israel, wait for the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love. With the Lord there is plenteous redemption. For the Lord shall redeem Israel from all their sins. Our second lesson is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 through chapter 5, verse 1. Life in the present is transitory and cannot compare with the eternal home God has prepared for us. So we do not despair, no matter what life might bring, because we know that as God raised Jesus from the dead, God promises to bring us into eternal life. The scripture. Just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with scripture, I believed, and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we also speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens.
This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the third chapter. Then Jesus went home, and the crowd came together again so that they could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons, he cast out demons." And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself, he is divided, he cannot stand. But his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin, for they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We continue with the children's sermon. Good morning, boys and girls. How's everybody doing out there today? So this morning I read that gospel lesson and it made me wonder if you had any relatives, like maybe aunts or uncles or cousins or whatever, who are cuckoo, right? Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, you know, who are just, you just don't understand what they're doing and why they want to do it and those kind of things. Let me start. So there are five girls in our family, five daughters, right? One of the daughters, the middle one, her name is Abby. Abby did something that I think is just a little crazy this week. Do you know the Manitou Incline? It's this path, this narrow and really steep path that goes up Pikes Peak, down in Manitou Springs, by Colorado Springs, right? And there are, like 2,744 steps, which wouldn't be very many steps if it was flat, but it's not flat. It goes up and up and up and up and up. You know that the amount of steps that you take, it's taller than the Empire State Building in New York City, which is this really, really tall building that King Kong, the monster, stood on top of, right? Anyway, so Abby did that the other day. This is a picture of her climbing up those steps. This is the picture of her after she climbed those steps. Roar, look at her. She's making a muscle and she's all red because she's worked so hard and it took so much energy. And I don't know. Have you ever done something like that? It seems a little crazy to me. And to be honest, sometimes I worry about her. I worry about all our girls. I worry that they're okay, that they don't do things that they might get hurt, that their lives are strong and good. In the gospel lesson, Jesus' mama, remember her name? Mary, and his brothers and his sisters came to check on him because they were so worried about him, because he was doing things that people had never seen before. He was teaching about God. He was saying, "The kingdom of God is here, and it's all about what I'm doing." He healed people that had broken bodies. He made them better. And people began to say that Jesus was cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And his family believed it. So they were worried about him. And they checked on him. And Jesus loved his family too. You know he did. But they said, "Your mama and your brothers are here to check on you." And Jesus said, "You know who my mama and my brothers and my sisters are? Everyone who does the will of God." Right? Everybody who loves God is part of Jesus' family. And if you love God, you're part of that family too. So you may do things that are crazy in your life. There may be times that are hard that people don't understand. But you need to know right now, right today, that you will always be a part of Jesus' family. Capiche? Capash. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for sending us Jesus and for him doing all the things that seemed crazy, but really were just your love breaking into this world. Help us to have crazy love just like Jesus, and help us to remember that we are a part of his family, now and forever. And all God's children said, amen. All right, well, how about we all get together and climb the incline in Manitou? Let me know if you want to. Anyway, have a great week. I'll talk to y'all later. Bye. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I come from a long line of mystics. You know, dreamers, visionaries, various whatnots. You know that the word mystic is just a nice way of saying weirdos. And it goes way back. Supposedly our ancestors were either related to or followers of Saint Columba. And by the way, the day the Catholic Church commemorates Saint Columba is June 9th. It's just coming up. So happy Saint Columba Day. Anyway, there are two stories of what happened to the saint before he left Ireland. The first story is relatively boring. He and his disciples, they decided to go to Scotland to teach the people about Christ. The second story is much better. It says that Saint Columba got kicked out of Ireland for stealing a book of Psalms. He said he did it to protect it from these warring factions in Ireland, but that's not the way the church saw it. So instead of killing him on the spot, they made him confess his sin and do penance, which included a new assignment. He was banished to Scotland as part of his punishment. Of course, now he is credited with bringing the Christian faith to the people of Scotland. And all those things are nice and good. But the very best story of all is the legend that Saint Columba fought the Loch Ness Monster who had attacked one of his men. And by the power of God, he banished that monster to the deep water forever, and it never bothered people again. Now that's what I'm talking about. All that to say, I come from a long line of mystics. Many years ago, my mom had a dream. Grandpa McCollum died. That would be her grandpa. A short time before that, we had another grandma, Grandma Agari, who had died. But mom wasn't worried about her. She was a devout Catholic woman, and she talked about her faith all the time. Mom was 100% sure that she believed in Christ and that she was in heaven. But Grandpa never really talked about whether or not he believed in God. And Mom worried about him. She prayed for him constantly. She cried herself to sleep at night because she loved him so much and wanted him to be with God. Then, one night, she had a dream. She was on the back porch of the house that I grew up in Davenport, Iowa. She was looking out, and the sky suddenly turned completely black. The right side of the sky lit up, and in that portion of the sky, she could see the face of God. didn't look like Jesus in all the paintings and the art that depict Jesus. It was different. She couldn't describe it to me, even to this day, because I called her the other day and I asked her. She couldn't. All she said was, it was God. Now, at this point in the conversation on the telephone, my mom began to cry. See, it's hard for her to tell this part of the story. She said, whenever I tell this story, it makes me cry because I can still see the face of God. Anyway, back to the dream. God wanted to know why she was crying in the dream, and she said that she was worried about her grandpa, who had died. God told her, don't worry about your grandpa. I'll take care of him. And then a path leading up to God was illuminated, and God said, you just follow the pathway to me, and I'll take care of you. I asked my mom, have you followed that pathway? And she said, yes, I have, without hesitation. Hold that thought. We're going to come back to that pathway a little later. In the gospel lesson today, people are focused on Jesus. All kinds of people are giving their opinions and ideas about who he is and what he's all about. Honestly, the people were all wound up about Jesus at this point in the story. His family, they were wound up, and they came because they had heard rumors. The people were saying to them that Jesus had gone completely out of his mind. Had he? Was Jesus having delusions of grandeur? Did he claim too much importance and power by claiming that he was the Son of God? Well, then the scribes, remember these guys, the scribes, they were the religious leaders who had the job of maintaining the scriptures. They would copy the holy documents. They would interpret the holy documents. They gave their ideas and opinions about the word of God, but their primary function was to maintain and copy God's word. Well, these guys stepped out of their normal lives and their normal roles to come and give their opinion about Jesus. And they said, Jesus has a demon, Beelzebul. And by the ruler of the demons, he controls the demons. Was that true? Was Jesus possessed by a demon? Was he able to control other demons because he was a demon? Then, by the verses we have today, we can deduce that somewhere along the way, somebody said that Jesus had an unclean spirit, which really made Jesus mad, because he said, anyone who calls the Holy Spirit of God unclean has committed blasphemy, and that will not be forgiven. The unforgivable sin. So what do you think? Did he have an unclean spirit? Should we ask the opinions of the people gathered here? Should we take a public opinion poll to see who you all think Jesus is? See, it's interesting to me that all these people are trying to define Jesus the way that they think he should be defined. But today, when we read this story, we have to question their motivations. I mean, is it because Jesus was baptized by John and not only was given the blessing of John, but had this tremendous religious experience of the heavens opening up and God saying, you are my beloved son, with you I am well pleased. Were they threatened that Jesus was anointed and appointed by God to do God's work in the world? Or was it because Jesus said out loud when he was preaching and teaching that the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. He was saying to the people, now is the time. I know you've been doing your best to follow God's for a couple thousand years, but it's done now. It's been fulfilled. There is no need to look any further because I'm here. I mean, that seems a little arrogant. Unless it's true, then it probably seems a little scary. Especially to those who have been making all the rules and controlling the people. Or is the problem that without really trying all that hard, Jesus has been gathering followers, Sure. The 12 disciples who gave up everything to follow him, but also he was drawing large crowds. In the gospel lesson, there was a large crowd that had gathered so that they could hardly even eat. The people wanted to hear him. They wanted to be near him. They wanted to experience Jesus. Are these people who are trying to define Jesus in the worst possible light in this gospel story, are they threatened by the popularity of Jesus? Or is the problem that by this time in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus has already broken the Sabbath law and challenged the fundamental teachings of the Jewish church by healing a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath? It was a day of rest, and Jesus had broken God's law. Or is it just more basic than all that? Is it just human nature that we enjoy the drama? We enjoy being angry. We look for the differences between us and other people, and then we call them out like they're some kind of sinner. Maybe we just like to fight. So sometimes in the early twilight, the wee hours of the morning before I wake up fully, but I'm still not quite asleep, my brain starts to work overtime. It swirls and whirls out of control, causing dreams about whatever is on my heart and mind. The other early morning, I was thinking about the divisions in our world right now and how they are affecting the church. And yes, I mean our church here, Joy Lutheran Church, but I mean all of Christianity. And in that twilight moment, I had a vision, if you will, or a dream, if you will not. And in the dream, on one side, there were masses of people with various ideas and opinions. I don't want to get into the specifics of what they were talking about, what they were crying out, because it doesn't matter. And it will just make some people mad for absolutely no reason. Because on the other side, there were a ton of people with various opposing opinions to these people. And the people over there were just as fired up and just as adamant and just as self-righteously convinced as the people on other sides. And I'll tell you, in the dream, it was almost set up exactly like our church. I mean, physically. One opinion on this side, the other opinion on this side. And it was full. You know what I mean? It was jam-packed with clamoring, complaining people telling me what the church was supposed to be, what we as the people of God are supposed to be about, what I as the pastor of the church am supposed to be doing. And everybody, absolutely everybody, thought they knew best. Sounds terrible, doesn't it? Hold on. This wasn't just a dream or a vision about the condemnation of our modern culture. It was actually a happy dream. Because in the center, just like in our church, we have an aisle. Coming right down the center, there was a voice. Whether it was my own internal voice or some external voice of God, I can't remember. But the idea was planted and repeated in my head over and over again. The words that Jesus had spoken in Matthew chapter 7. Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide, the road is easy that leads to destruction. There are many who take it. But the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life. And there are few who find it. And I saw a path down the middle, going straight through all the crowds of dissension and the gathering of the worldly minded. And Jesus, he was the path. He was the only way. Then my brain jumped and the words in my head changed again. This time it was the cry of the Reformation, the five solos, solas. You remember that old path, that narrow way of the foundational doctrines of the church that were and still are designed to keep the people of God on the straight and narrow? They are Scripture alone, faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone, and soli Deo gloria, the glory of God alone. The point of the five solas was to remind us that as tempting as it is to build our lives around other doctrines that are given to us by this world, those ideas and opinions that are constantly pulling us apart, that those things are not the same as the way of Christ. They are not the way of God. They are not that narrow path. And even if they started out as being Christ-centered and focused on Him, if they do not continue to call us back to the narrow path, to the only one who can get us through this world, then in fact those ideas, doctrines, and philosophies do not serve us and do not serve God and do not lead to life. They just lead to another path, to death. Weird, right? I told you at the very beginning that mystic means weird. But it all seems so clear in my head and in my heart, that we have a path. We've been called to follow Jesus. And it's a hard way to follow Him. It means that we have to submit to Him and His teachings and His life. We have to give up our own ways and our own ideas and our own opinions, especially those that draw us away from Him or that hurt our relationships with each other. This is not an easy path. He didn't promise that it would be easy, or success, or glory, or honor, or happiness, or riches, or anything else. He promised us the opposite, that it would be hard. But at the end of that path is the kingdom of God, eternal life with Him, that He's prepared a place for us and has given us a hope that extends beyond what we experience in this world. So that even when the foundations of this earth shake and crumble, our faith, our hope, our path is unshakable and certain. So, this is the challenge. We can be like all those people in the gospel lesson who tried to define Jesus into what they thought He was or what they wanted Him to be. Or we can choose the narrow way. And that means to challenge our own thoughts and our own words over and against Jesus. And then even if we don't like it, to listen to Him. Just to see Him for who He really is, not who we think He is. And to follow Him. Follow Him. That's it. That's the path. Sola Christus, Christ alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
So with the church on earth, and with all the saints who have come before us, let us confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. So with all the people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, for the world, and for all who are in need. Lord Jesus, for that is who you are. We give you thanks that you have come to live and dwell among us, and that in doing so you give to each of us new life and new hope. Through your mercy, forgiveness, and grace, you have conquered the powers of sin and death that ensnare us, and you've set us free to join you in mission for the renewal of the world. Help us to live with such humility and gratitude, inviting others to experience the freeing power you offer. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We thank you, O God, for bringing us to this time and place, and for your ongoing presence during this pandemic, for your comforting and encouraging spirit, which calls us forward into the new reality of your kingdom. Thank you for the work and dedication of all those who have made it possible for us to gather together as your people. And we ask that your Spirit would continue to move in and through and around us, that we may faithfully go out into the world proclaiming the good news of your promise in Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for peace and renewal in our world, people of Israel and Palestine, that they may continue to work toward reconciliation. For the people of Myanmar, who continue to struggle with civil unrest, that a peaceful resolution may be reached. For the divisions that continue to fester in our country and around the world, that we may seek to be united in our commitment to love and care for our neighbors and one another. May your kingdom come, O God, and may your will be done. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who are in need of your healing and comfort, for Patricia Gorko, Ryan Steinert, Cody McNally, and Olivia Pulzer, for the family of Wally Davis, brother-in-law of Khaki Keeble. Wally passed away this week. Surround them in the comfort of your promise to raise Wally to new life in Christ. We also pray for those whom we name now in our hearts and minds. strengthen all for whom we pray in faith, sustain them in hope, and grant them peace, O God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. At this time, we'll continue with our offertory. Please use this time to reflect and to think about, who do you say that Christ is? Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right. It is our duty and our joy that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and we join the unending hymn. Give thanks. Holy God, you alone are holy, you alone are God. The universe declares your praise beyond the stars, beneath the sea, within each cell, with every breath. We praise you, O God. Generations bless your faithfulness through the water, by night and day, across the wilderness, out of exile, into the future. We bless you, O God. We give you thanks for your dear Son, at the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, beside the sinner, among the poor, with us now. We thank you, O God. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord and Savior Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup and he blessed it, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, we pray together as Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. My friends, my brothers and sisters, this is the body of Christ given for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus strengthen us and keep us in God's grace, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Jesus, bread of life, we have received from your table more than we could ever ask. As you have nourished us in this meal, now strengthen us to love the world with your own life. In your name we pray. Amen. Receive God's blessings as you go out into the world and enter this new week that God has brought us to. The blessing of God, who provides for us, who feeds us, and who journeys with us wherever we go, be upon you now and forever. Amen. We join together in singing our sending hymn.
Sins forgiven at peace. serving, joyful and free.
Peace. We are the body of Christ. Thanks be to God.